confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
To the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre.
With the lyre and the sound of the melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn.
Make a joyful noise before the King.
Word of God.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the 11th chapter. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and heaven.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him on the heights.
Praise him, all his angels.
Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you highest heavens.
And you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For he commanded, and they were created.
And he established them forever and ever.
He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth.
You raise sea creatures and all beasts.
Fire and hail, snow and mist.
Stormy wind fulfilling his word.
Mountains and all hills.
Fruit trees and all cedars.
Beasts and all livestock.
Creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples.
Princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens together.
Old men and children.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints.
For his name alone is exalted.
His majesty is above earth and heaven.
The second reading is from the Revelation to St. John, the 21st chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the springs of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Jesus said to the disciples, "The Spirit of truth will guide you into all the truth. For he won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and will declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is our text. Our gospel readings right now are taking us backwards. We're going from Easter Sunday, but we're moving back to the night when Jesus was betrayed. Back to the upper room when Jesus was teaching his disciples about the things that were to come. In this teaching today, we hear just a little bit of the conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." He has something important to teach us in this conversation. Something important for them, something important for the church of all ages, and something important for you today. Something that we need to hear as we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord. Because what we see in this reading is a picture of how our Lord deals with a lack of understanding. Because that's what the disciples have. The disciples don't understand Jesus. They just don't get it. They don't get what he's saying. They're very confused. May not come as any surprise if you've been reading through the Gospels, because this happens to them frequently. It's an ongoing issue for the disciples. Jesus will teach, and things just don't connect. They don't understand what he is saying. The women of the LWML heard something like this yesterday when I taught from John chapter 14. As Jesus was teaching, Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And then Philip said later, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us." Because they just don't get what he is saying. And then a little later, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but a different Judas, said, "Lord, how is it that you will show yourself to us and not to the world?" I love that the disciples are not afraid here to ask Jesus questions. They're not afraid to express to him the things that they don't understand. But in our reading today, they are afraid. In our reading from John 16, the disciples again don't understand. Jesus said, "A little while you will see me, and then a little while you will not see me." And they don't know what he means by a little while. You can hear the confusion in what they're saying to one another. It's like they're whispering while he's teaching, whispering back in the corner, "What's this that he says to us? What does he mean? We don't even know what he's talking about." Afraid to raise their hands, nervous to even ask a question. And they don't get it. How can they, of course? If we think that everything about the Christian faith is something that we can get, then I've got news for you. It isn't. Not everything is understandable. Not everything will be crystal clear to our minds. Of course, that's true not only about things of God, but even things of this world we don't always fully understand or fully get. The disciples don't understand here. They don't understand the meaning of what Jesus is about to do for them. Even if Jesus had laid it all out very clearly, as he had on other occasions, they still didn't get it. The meaning of his death and resurrection, they didn't understand. It was beyond their comprehension to imagine a Messiah and Savior who would die and rise for them. Of course, even after the resurrection, they still don't always get it. We heard in the reading from Acts today, Acts chapter 11, how St. Peter brought the good news to Gentiles, to non-Jews, but he didn't get it. When he was first given the vision of those animals being let down and told to kill and eat, he said, "Absolutely not, because he didn't understand what God was saying, until the Holy Spirit opened his eyes to see that the message of Jesus Christ was for those who were clean and for those who had formerly been considered unclean. The Gentiles are part of the kingdom of God. But I know, when we hear about the disciples and their continued lack of understanding, their continual failure to get what Jesus says, sometimes you wonder just what Jesus sees in them. But then again, sometimes we wonder just what Jesus sees in us. Because that confusion is not a first century problem. We have plenty of questions as well. Sometimes we're willing to raise a hand and ask them, and sometimes we just sit there whispering them to our neighbors. I think of our Bible classes, how often the hands shoot up with questions that you have, things that you don't immediately understand. Sometimes I wish that I had someone that I could raise my hand and ask questions of as well. I don't get everything that the scriptures say. I don't get every word that Jesus speaks. I have lots of questions too. But then for every question that's asked, I know that there are other questions that go unasked. People who are unwilling or uncomfortable raising their hands and asking them. How many of us Christians are like Jesus' disciples? Not able to understand, wondering what he's saying, and yet afraid to raise our hands. It is a bit strange, though, when we're gathered with other Christians around the scriptures, when we're gathered to learn his word, and yet we're afraid to ask questions of him. It happens, of course, not only at church, but it also happens in our own homes. How often have you at home been reading through your Bible and you run across something that you find confusing, wondering about something that doesn't make sense? Maybe you have one of those study Bibles and you go to the bottom and you look for help and find that more unhelpful or perhaps even more confusing. It's been said at times that study Bibles are really good at answering all of the questions you aren't asking. Sometimes it does have answers to the questions you are asking. An exaggeration, but the point is taken. Which of us has a complete understanding of the things of God? Which of us completely grasps what Jesus speaks to us in his word? And the answer is none of us. Now, the point isn't that we need to get a better understanding of what Jesus says by working harder, although I do commend to you reading the scriptures and studying. But the point isn't that it rests on your shoulders. Instead, John offers us a picture of how Jesus deals with these confused and misunderstanding disciples. You see, when they were whispering their questions in the back, Jesus knew what they were doing. He knew what they were asking, the very questions they had. And so Jesus knew they wanted to ask him about what he was saying. And even when they didn't, even when they were too nervous or afraid to ask, Jesus deals patiently with them. He doesn't mock them. He doesn't belittle them. He doesn't lay into them. He doesn't call them stupid. But instead, he speaks with his disciples who don't understand. And he teaches us that our God is willing to deal patiently with us in the questions we have, in the confusion we have, in the misunderstandings that we often have. And what does Jesus say? He deals with these misunderstanding disciples by offering a promise. He doesn't clear up all of their misunderstandings in that moment. He doesn't give them all of the answers. He doesn't turn to the back and say, "Here are the things you were wondering about." But he gives a promise. He promises his disciples that he will send his Holy Spirit. That is the answer to the confusion that the disciples have. That is the answer to the questions that the church has and the misunderstanding that we are so often under. It is the promise of the Holy Spirit and the gift of that Spirit. Jesus says, "The Spirit of truth will guide you into all the truth, for he won't speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." You see, the Holy Spirit's job is to enlighten the church by the through the words of Christ. The Holy Spirit's job is to bring what Christ has said and done to us so that we may know it and believe it. He will glorify me, Jesus said, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. There were things that the disciples were not ready for yet. As I said earlier, no matter how clearly Jesus spoke of his crucifixion and resurrection, they weren't going to get it until it happened. There were things that they couldn't yet comprehend. And there are things for us still that remain beyond our comprehension. Trinity Sunday will be coming up in about a month. Woe to that pastor who thinks that he can explain the Holy Trinity fully and perfectly. It will never happen. But Christ promises to be with his disciples during the time that they lack understanding. He promises to send his Holy Spirit to continue to guide them into the truth. He sends his Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. In this time when we still deal with a dim vision and understanding of what Christ teaches. He doesn't give us a perfect and full answer now. He doesn't make the mysteries of God fully understandable to us. There are things of the faith beyond our grasp. And thanks be to God that there is no requirement for us as Christians to have a complete understanding of all God's ways. We are not saved by our knowledge of the faith. We are saved by our trust in Christ, who deals patiently with us. That's not to say that understanding the faith is irrelevant or unimportant. It's not to say that studying the scriptures and diving in deeper is worthless. But we are not saved by our understanding. We trust the promises of Christ. That's what makes us Christians. He will send the Holy Spirit, and he has sent the Holy Spirit, so that through the word we would be led into all truth, deeper and deeper into that truth. The other side of the coin is this, that our Lord doesn't ask us to check our reason at the door when we come into the church. He doesn't ask us simply to follow blindly with no questions, with no misunderstanding, but he encourages us to ask our questions. He encourages us to seek understanding, and he encourages us to seek that understanding in his word where the Holy Spirit is at work. So Jesus sees the questions of the disciples. Jesus sees the questions of our hearts. He sees us, and he will continue to be with us as we seek answers to our questions, as we seek out his will and his ways. So don't despair if you find things hard to understand. Don't give up. Go further in and further up in God's word. Keep asking your questions. And remember this, that being a Christian is not a momentary thing. Being a Christian does not mean that you will have it all together in that moment. But being a Christian is the work of a lifetime. The work of continuing to study and learn God's word. Continuing to let the Holy Spirit be at work through that word to draw us to a deeper and fuller understanding. And as we do that, Jesus is patient with us. He is patient with us when we don't get it. He is patient with us when we are confused. Jesus deals with his disciples in such a beautiful way that is important for you to know today, as it was for the disciples on that night in the upper room. And let's be honest, there are people who turn away from Christ for the wrong reasons. There may be some people who turn away because they assume that being a Christian requires them to have a complete understanding. There may be people who turn away because they think they have to set their reason aside in order to believe. But neither one of those is true. We are not Christians because we understand it fully, but nor do we as Christians set aside our reason in order to believe. But rather, God uses our reason to understand and to grasp what he teaches. So we're not saved because we completely understand all things, and we're not saved because we have no questions and blindly follow where he leads, but we're saved because our Lord sees our confusion and he has mercy on us in our time of need. And our Lord's love is made known most of all in his suffering. He suffers for sinners who believe that they understand better than God, and he suffers for sinners who believe that there is no truth when it comes to God. He suffers for those who in their pride and in their ignorance reject him. Jesus dies for those who lack understanding. And that is good news for you and me today. But he rises from the dead because of God's total and complete understanding. Because though we may not understand, God does. And he understands what you need. And he desires to give you what you need. Even the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation in Jesus Christ. A peace that passes all understanding and is from above and not from below. Jesus dies and rises to bring the eternal mystery of salvation to you and to me. And because it's a mystery, there will always be this tension, at least in this life. Here we will understand, but we will not understand completely. Here we see Jesus, but we still see through a glass dimly and darkly. And for us, Jesus offers this promise. He sends his Holy Spirit, who through the Word guides us into all truth. We have a sure guide, and we have a certain help and comfort as we live in the tension with questions, with incomplete understanding. And with the promise of the Holy Spirit, we can dive back into the Word. We can raise our hands boldly and confidently. We can keep growing and learning in the faith. I can't guarantee you that all your questions will even be answered in the life of the world to come, but I can promise you this. Whatever questions he doesn't answer there, you'll no longer care about anyway. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, come with your questions, come with your confusion, and receive this assurance. Whether we understand more or less of what our Lord says, whether we grasp completely or only very little, he sees us and he knows us and he loves us and he died and rose for us and he sends his Holy Spirit to us. So you can be confident of his care for you until he comes again. I will see you again, Jesus says, and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of heaven and earth, in the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you have given the promise of our own resurrection. As we await the last day, calm our hearts and strengthen our faith, even through our sorrows. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have fashioned the church as a heavenly bride for your risen Son.
Grant her your spirit, that she may always listen to his living voice and ever declare his message of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, lead your people in your steadfast love and guide them in strength to your holy dwelling. Sanctify our homes, be the companion of those who live alone, and make all our households places in which your wisdom and grace are found. Watch over the parsonage project, protecting those who do the work, and make it a blessing for our congregation, pastor, and his family. Bless and protect all mothers with child, especially Stephanie Miller, Kristen Gregory, Kristen Hanlon, Melinda Bergeron, Allie Moore, Shayla Moore, and Alyssa Anderson. Be with those who struggle with the cross of infertility, and watch over all who are pursuing adoption and foster care. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Father, be with all who bear your name in foreign and distant places. We pray that you would keep in safety Caitlin Salberg as she travels to Liberia and later to Israel. Bless the work that she does, and we pray that she would grow in her love and knowledge of you even as she brings this to others. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, you hold all people accountable for the responsibilities you have given them. O Lord, bless our president, our governor, the Congress and legislature, and all judges and magistrates. Guide them to serve according to your will and for the common good of all. Raise up virtuous people who will defend our liberty. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, even as you give peace to the nations. Lord, in your mercy. O Alpha and Omega, you pledge to bring all things to their perfect consummation. You will bring a new heaven and a new earth, banishing sorrow, sin, and death. Sustain Dana Blaze, John Erickson, Drew Johnson, Nancy Kengis, Mike and Nancy McTighe, John Meyer Jr., Steve Meyer, Lucy Naylor, Sherry Nord, Ed Pinard, Alicia Reinhardt, Nancy Roberts, Ted Roberts, Sue Salberg, Alice Salcido, Gwen Shope, Helene Schott, and all those now in tribulation, as well as our homebound Karen Hamill, Janet Lipke, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore. Grant your comfort to those who mourn, especially Paul Dwiggins and his brother's family at the death of his nephew Miles. By the comfort of your holy word, increase the faith of all who struggle and sorrow and are sick, and see them through their trials. Lord, in your mercy. Prepare us now to receive with faith and thanksgiving the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ for the life of the world, and his blood that cleanses us from all sin. Unite us that we may believe and confess one faith, and bring us to that day when we shall be one people together at the table of our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we wait for the second coming of your resurrected Son. Grant us patience as we long to see him, and even now give us joy at his presence with us in the church. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of Sabaoth, remember Carmel of your glory, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm 66. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. Sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his mighty, by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men.
Thank you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless with the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.